Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh. I actually feel better than I sound.
Okay. Oh, and the week of Christmas too.
Oh, what the fudge, Lockie.
Oh, you poor thing.
I missed out on all the fun stuff we had planned today at work. I'm just like,
Bugger.
Wasn't meant to be. Wasn't meant to be. At least it's not COVID, you know?
Like, yeah.
And that's like one of my positive thinking is like, at least it's not COVID.
Yeah.
But I will be trying to keep my, although I want to talk a lot, I'm going to try and keep it to a minimum this episode.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh, gosh. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's good.
Getting there, trying to get everything sorted beforehand. I mean, this episode drops on Boxing Day, so.
Yes.
We'll have been and gone with Christmas, but getting there.
Will you be Boxing Day shopping though, Lockie?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided.
I think I'm going to do it online.
Yeah.
I'm not braving the shops.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, I don't have anything that I need though. Like, I feel like I'm not hanging out for anything. So, like, yeah I don't know.
Yeah. And that's usually when you go when you like want something big. So,
yeah. No, nothing on my radar, but
we'll see. That's all right.
Yeah. Something that I've been meaning to talk to you about, and I cannot believe we have not talked about it. I'm sure you've seen it around on TikTok. Though the Idaho murders.
Yes. Actually insane. I think when it first happened, I think I might have even sent you an article, but we just never spoke about it.
Yeah, and then I've been like in a hole this week on TikTok looking at everything, and it's like, yeah, it's just crazy.
Because they just released some new footage last week. I don't know if you saw.
No, I haven't seen. Oh, maybe I have.
Oh, I think it's of the two girls.
Yeah, walking. It's like surveillance footage. Yeah.
Yes. And then talking about like one of her exes. And she's like, I told him everything or something like that.
Oh, we'll have to cover it in the new year maybe.
But, yes. And you know, True Crime Garage actually just covered it.
Oh, did they?
Yes. And it's actually pretty good because I listened to that. Must have been last week actually. But yeah, I'd definitely give that a listen and we should definitely cover it in the new year.
It happened in November. Like it happened Yeah, and it's just blown up.
And I don't know how, like, because, you know, there was, like, six people in the house and the two other roommates heard nothing.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind, like, how?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird. I'd love to cover it.
We'll put it on our list.
Yes.
But maybe because this is going to be such a huge episode, maybe we should get started. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go, although I do quickly just want to put something out there really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you would not believe, you know, OJ Simpson's done an interview this week. It dropped this week.
Stop.
Yes. And you know what? I'm about like 3/4 of the way through and it's with, what are they called? Like a really popular guy's sort of podcast. Oh my gosh, I've gone blank because I follow them as well and I listen to a lot of their things. Hang on a sec. But anyway. He did a freaking, I can't believe podcast with him.
Oh, I have to listen to it.
I want to find it so everyone knows what the heck I'm talking about, but I can't remember for the life of me. So I'll have to have a quick Google and get back and remind me at the end of the episode. I'll see if I can find it for everyone.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't it? And he says to them, he's like, I don't want to talk about that. You know what I mean? But he sort of jokes and stuff. It makes me like really uncomfortable. Like the whole interview just made me quite uncomfortable.
Because he has been done interviews in the past and he's just like seems like a bit of
like
he comes across really nonchalant. Is that the word?
Oh, yeah, I don't even know what that means. But so you know, it's with the Nelk boys. Have you heard of them? I think they started off pranking people. Now they're like massive. They've got a podcast. I cannot remember what the podcast is called, but the guys they do it with is. Like, as in, they're called the Nelk Boys. And, you know, in it, they're asking me if he's Khloe Kardashian's dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Can I tell you, I don't think he is her dad, but I like the theory of it. You know what I mean?
I feel like there is so much possibility.
Yes. Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah. Because she does look so different to the others.
I know. And even her build is a lot different.
Yeah.
But it's really awkward because I'm pretty sure he says, oh, yeah, Chris was cute and everything, but I was used to dating supermodels. So that was, like, so awkward.
The Kardashians probably have a gag order on him or something. Just because he says no doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. They are so powerful now. You know, I used to freaking love them, and now I'm just so put off them. Yeah. I don't know what – I just feel like they're phonies. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't like them anymore.
Yeah. I reckon – I feel the same. I reckon it's since they have done their new show.
Oh, yes, I haven't even watched it. Because, have you watched it?
Yeah, I've watched it. Because, one, they make out obviously like they were ending it, and then they just come up with a new show. And, like, it's really – the show's really – how do I explain it? Like, it's not as, like – it doesn't feel as real as the OG one.
More scripted.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems that way.
But I feel like even if you watch the first few seasons of The Kardashians, it's very different to where it finished, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, I really liked the start of it, because it felt, like, authentic, and then it just, I don't know, something's happened. Obviously, they've gotten that big, and then they've had, obviously, like, control over the series, and it just became fake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But yes.
But yeah, let's get into this week's episode.
Let's do it.
Past Santa Claus in his sleigh and a double row of candy canes, deputy coroners brought the body of 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey from her upscale home. Neighbors described the young girl as beautiful and polite. In 1995, she won the Little Miss Colorado pageant. Boulder police won't comment on her cause of death, only saying that she wasn't shot or stabbed. They are investigating her death as a homicide. So far, no arrests have been made.
This case started as a kidnapping. Police were called here to the scene at about 6 a.m. the morning after Christmas. Someone inside this house had made a 911 call saying that little JonBenet had been kidnapped. Well, when police got here, they went inside the house, and a short time later, they found the little girl's body. The parents, John and Patsy Ramsey, were home at the time, but detectives say the parents are not suspects.
The father is the president of Access Graphics, located on Boulder's Pearl Street Mall. The couple does have another child, a son around 10 years old. Whether the boy is a suspect, investigators won't comment, saying only that right now, this murder investigation is wide open. In Boulder, Phil Keating, 9 News.
So today we are finally talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yes, we are.
This has been on my list pretty much since we did it, and I needed a bit of time to put some stuff together and watch a few things and stuff. So we're finally there, and we thought because it's Christmas, this is obviously a Christmas case. So we just thought it was really good timing. And it's creepy because this is dropping on Boxing Day, and that's when, like...
the anniversary.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah. It's really, really creepy. So before I get into it, I wanted to just put it out there that we are approaching this episode with the assumption that most of you guys have a vague idea of this case at all. I doubt there is anyone on this planet that has never heard of this. So the way, like, I'm just going to quickly talk about what happened, and then we're going to, like, just go into the theories. So that's just the way it's going to go. If you've never heard of this before, I don't know where you've been.
And there's so much on it, honestly. Like, I feel like there's so much to watch and read and look at. So at the same time, like, you can easily get a quick summary, do you know what I mean, online as well.
Yep. So JonBenet Patricia Ramsey was born on August the 6th, 1990. She was the youngest of two children. Her older brother, Burke, was 3 years older than her. JonBenet's parents were John and Patricia Ramsey, and the family of four lived in Boulder, Colorado. And they moved to Boulder when JonBenet was one for John's job. John had been previously married, and he had three children to this previous marriage. They were Elizabeth, Melinda, and John, which I assume is John Jr. And Elizabeth had died in a car accident, I think.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah. So, and they were like adults. Like, they were like 20 years older than JonBenet and Burke.
Yeah.
So the Ramseys were really well off, really rich. John was the president and CEO of a computer services company. And in 1996, like just to show how rich they would have been, this company reportedly profited like $1 billion. And like they were so rich, like they had two planes at one point in their lives.
That's in the 90s as
in
well.
In the 90s too. Yeah. The house they lived in Boulder was like in one of the most affluent suburbs, and it was huge. Like the house was huge. It had five bedrooms. It was around 7,000 square feet, which is in for the Australian listeners, it's about 650 square meters. So I guess for reference, like Karina, you think my house is 250 square meters. So it's like almost three times the size.
Wow.
Of like a standard house. Huge. Yep. So the house had four floors, including the basement. And it's reported that Burke and Patsy and John, their rooms were kind of close together, and John Bernays was like other end of the house.
Yep.
So Patsy and entered John Bernays in beauty pageants, and she won multiple titles. She was really successful at this. And Patsy was described as the typical pageant mum. She had done pageants herself when she was younger, so you could say she was living vicariously through JonBenet. But JonBenet was like, I mean, if you look up photos, every photo is a pageant photo, or you know, the professional.
She's got
photos.
The full makeup and her hair's done, and she's doing it, like she's absolutely gorgeous. But I feel like there's not many photos of her just being a kid, you know?
Exactly. And Patsy being the typical pageant mum is a bit criticized, but I mean, like, have you ever seen that show Toddlers and Tiaras?
No, I mean, no, I haven't.
It's like a reality show on like TLC or whatever. Yeah. And it is, it's just about like little kids and their pageant mums. And like pageant mums are crazy. Like,
yeah.
And like, she wasn't, it's not like Patsy was the only one, like, yeah, you know, exactly. Like this was a whole thing. So yes, she was a pageant mum, but she was one of many. So on Christmas Day in 1996, JonBenet was 6 years old, and in the evening, on Christmas evening, the Ramseys were at their friend's house for an annual Christmas party. I think they did this most Christmases.
Yep.
The family arrived home later that evening, and JonBenet had fallen asleep in the car on the way home. So when they arrived home, she was carried to bed. The following morning, on December the 26th, Patsy went to wake up her daughter. I read somewhere that they were meant to be going on a trip that day. Family.
They'll fly out. I think to one of their other houses.
Yeah. So they were up early. And Patsy went to wake up the children. She went to JonBenet first, and she found a note at the foot of the staircase. Now, so this note said that JonBenet had been taken. And the note contained specific instructions about how John and Patsy were not meant to contact the police, and they wanted a ransom for JonBenet, and it was for the sum of $118,000.
What a weird sum.
Yeah, weird, hey? And, like, they were millionaires. Like, I feel like $118,000 they would almost blink at. Like,
and
you know,
why would you risk abducting a little girl for $118,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So strange.
We will post a photo of the ransom note because it is handwritten, but I am just going to read it out in the podcast because it's super odd. So, Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want to see her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size, I don't know what this word is. Something.
Attaché.
Attaché. Is it like a bag?
Yeah, and who the heck uses that word?
Yeah.
It's freaking strange.
When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier delivery pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money in any way is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It is up to you now, John. Victory, SBTC.
Strange.
There's a few spelling mistakes throughout the note, like only a few words here and there. But other than that, like not really.
But the weird thing about the spelling mistakes is they're like normal. It's like they've been spelt wrong on purpose. And then like that word like attaché is spelt correctly. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so they've spelt like business.
Yeah.
Wrong, like double S.
And then possession, is it?
I think and it's possession. Yeah. But then there's words throughout the note like countermeasures and like I'm just looking through underestimate. Like they're spelt correctly.
Yeah, and even the way they speak, like hints. Like not a lot of people use that word, like hints.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? So it's definitely
The note is odd.
It's odd and it's odd and it's off. Like this for some reason is just like a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too strange.
All right. So immediately after finding this ransom note, Patsy calls 911 and this call is made at 5:52 a.m. on the 26th of December. And I'm just going to pop the call into the episode now so we can listen through it.
911 emergency. What's going on there, ma'am?
We have a kidnapping. Hurry, please.
Explain to me what's going on, okay?
There's a note left and our daughter's gone.
A note was left and your daughter is gone? How old is your daughter?
6 years old. She's gone. 6 years old.
How long ago was this?
I don't know. I just found the note. And my daughter's gone.
Does it say who took her?
What?
Does it say who took her?
I don't know. There's a ransom note here.
It's a ransom note?
It says SBTC. Victory. Please.
Okay, what's your name? Are you
Patsy Ramsey? I'm the mother. Oh, my God. Please.
I'm sending an officer over, okay?
Please.
Do you know how long she's been gone?
No, I don't. Please, we just got out. Is she right here? Oh, my God, please.
Okay, girl.
Is there somebody?
I am, honey.
Please.
Take a deep breath for
please.
Me, okay?
Hurry.
Patsy?
So after making this 911 call, Patsy also calls family and friends to come and support them and help them find her as well. Two police officers arrive to the Ramsey home at like 5:55. So it takes them like 3 minutes after the 911 call.
Yep.
They do a bit of a search of the house and they find that there's no sign of forced entry. And these police officers that initially arrived to the scene, they're going off the impression that JonBenet has been kidnapped.
Yep.
And at that moment in time as well, the morning, John was making arrangements to pay this $118,000 ransom.
Hey, you know that $118,000 ransom? That was like the same amount as his bonus that year.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is just strange. Like, did the person know that he had that money just sort of like lying around and it'd be easy to get it? Like, you know what I mean? I'm just so many questions.
Yeah. So during the search of the Ramsey home that morning on the 26th, only JonBenet's room was cordoned off to prevent the contamination of evidence. I think this is because they thought she was kidnapped from her bed.
Yeah.
This precaution wasn't taken anywhere else in the house, only her room. And as Patsy had called friends and family over to aid in the search of JonBenet, there were random people roaming the house all morning.
How?
So if there was any potential evidence throughout the house, it was either, you know, it was contaminated or it was, you know, lost or whatever. Like, it was just making everything really hard.
Yeah.
But I think in the police's defense at this point in time, they didn't think that it was necessary to, I guess, do the whole house. But anyway.
And I think they had invited, like, obviously, a support network over for the family, like a specific support group, you know what I mean, that helps families with this sort of situation.
Yeah.
So the house was just full of people that morning.
So during the search of the home, two practice ransom notes were found. Like, whoever had written this had done a few practice runs and scrunched them and threw them away before they actually wrote the final note. And it was also found that the ransom note was written with pen and paper that was actually found in the Ramsey home.
See, that is so odd.
So weird. So if someone has come in and kidnapped her, they've actually written the note in the house
before they've taken it. Why would you waste that much freaking time writing a 3-page note in the house when you're in the middle of kidnapping someone?
I think, like, you know, if you're planning on kidnapping her, which you would assume that you were, wouldn't have been opportunity, you would come with the note already written.
100%.
And probably typed.
Yeah.
So at 1 p.m. that afternoon, this is on the 26th still, the police instructed John and a family friend of theirs to just go around the house to just see if they could see anything that maybe was out of place or that wasn't in its usual spot or just something that, you know, that just doesn't seem right, that maybe they can get tested or whatever. So John immediately goes to the basement to do this search first, and he finds the body of his daughter. Her body was found behind a door. I think it was like a cellar, like a wine cellar.
Yeah.
And the police hadn't opened this door during the search because it was locked or something, or like they kind of were just searching around it and they just didn't bother opening the door.
I think because – so I read something about that the door was locked from the outside. So they're thinking, like, if it's locked from the outside, no one could have used it. You know, like, if it's locked from the outside of the house, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, no one would go into that room because obviously, like, the lock's not on the inside of the room, it's on the outside.
Yeah.
So they just assume, like, no one's touched this door, so we're not going to go in to search it.
Yeah. So JonBenet was found with duct tape over her mouth. A cord was also tied around her wrists and her neck, and she was covered in a white blanket. And all of these items used to restrain JonBenet were all found to be taken from the Ramsey house. So whoever is responsible hasn't really come with anything. Like, everything that has been used has been taken from the house.
Yeah.
So when John found his daughter's body, he immediately picked her up and took her upstairs, again contaminating the scene where she was found and possibly disturbing any evidence that was there. John has since done countless interviews, and he has talked about how he picked her up because he saw her and he thought that she may be still alive, and, you know, obviously it was just his instinct to take her upstairs to hopefully save her. An autopsy was conducted on her body, and it concluded that she died from asphyxiation due to strangulation, but she also had a large fracture on her skull, and she had marks on her body, like two dots. That initially people thought it could possibly be a stun gun.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like those two, like dots that you get from a stun gun.
Yeah.
It was also found that she had been sexually assaulted, although no semen was found in or on her. I think it was obvious she had been assaulted. I think she had an injury.
There have been, like, a few people to say that maybe it wasn't an actual sexual assault.
Yeah.
And because I know that she had had problems wetting the bed
mm-hmm.
quite often. And then they had said, like, maybe that was like some sort of rash, you know what I mean, that was there because of that. And there was just like applying cream, like, or the bruising was like from that. So there are some like different theories out there because I don't think it's confirmed, although it looks like it was, they couldn't confirm that she was sexually assaulted.
Yeah. So the autopsy also found that JonBenet had eaten pineapple shortly before her death because the contents was actually in her stomach. And John and Patsy don't remember giving her any pineapple. Like they said, they carried her to bed as soon as she got home and, you know, she wasn't up after that. So they, that was confusing to them. But there was a bowl of pineapple found in the kitchen. And this bowl was analyzed for DNA and it had her brother Burke's fingerprints on the bowl. So John and Patsy claimed Burke was asleep the whole night. Like he didn't wake up at all. And he only woke up on that morning when the police arrived. DNA tests were done on JonBenet's body and the clothing. There was blood found in her underwear. And this DNA belonged to an unknown male that didn't belong in the Ramsey family. This sample has also been tested against the FBI's database that contains like 1.6 million profiles and it didn't match anyone. I mean, I think that would only be people with criminal records, hey?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Although now I wonder if they could run that through one of those like ancestry.coms.
Yeah.
They might be able to get a different hit because obviously this opens up the world so much more when people are giving their DNA to, do you know what I mean, like find their ancestors. Because you can, that's how they've like tracked heaps of people down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it didn't match anyone. So I know this sounds very short and sweet. That's kind of the details of the case. So now we're going to spend a lot of time going into the theories because there's so much information that I feel like it's going to be easier to talk about it as we talk about possible theories.
Yes, yeah.
So the first is if we would go with the story that the Ramseys claim was that an intruder came into the home, kidnapped her. I can't even say kidnapped because I feel like she's still in the house, wrote the ransom note and killed her. They have said that they thought someone was possibly stalking her at pageants.
Okay, yeah.
And went into their home and assaulted her and killed her that night, but that really doesn't explain why there was a ransom note there.
Unless they just got so excited, like, by the fact of actually, like, having her.
Possibly, yeah.
They couldn't, like, control themselves.
Yeah.
The note doesn't make sense. So I honestly think that if it was someone external coming into the house, you would not waste time looking for a pen and paper in the house.
No. Yeah, yeah. The possible evidence that JonBenet had been sexually assaulted is probably one of the strongest indicators that it could have been an intruder. I read a bit of an article online and it kind of said like it's much more rare for a husband and wife to cover up. Wait, how do I say this? So like it's much more rare for a husband and wife to work together to cover up abuse.
Oh yeah.
Only one of them committed. Like I feel like if it was abuse within the family, I don't think they would work together. As a husband and wife to cover that up.
I completely agree.
There was also an unidentified boot print found in the room where her body was discovered. I think these were like, what do they call them? Like utility boots?
Is that
And then police also discovered one of the doors to the Ramsey home was unlocked and there were also two basement windows left ajar. Like this is to do with Christmas lights or something, like Christmas light cords were going in and out.
Yeah.
So I think they possibly think maybe that's how someone got in. And an additional basement window was broken prior to her murder. So that could have also been a way to get into the home. Yep. And I think as well, like another thing pointing towards the intruder is if it was a stun gun, I don't think they can conclude that it was, but that also was like, you know, possibly an intruder's come in and stunned her to take her.
And that's why they haven't heard, no one's heard anything, you know, exactly. Like no cries or anything.
Yep.
I mean, there are heaps of actual people that have been investigated when it comes to like, for instance, being able to be the intruder. Like I read something about like, apparently that like the father was having like some sort of fight or something with, you know, one of his employees and then he owed him money and the money that he owed him would have ended up being like 118,000.
Yeah.
So like, there are definite theories out there, but the thing I just can't get by is the note.
The note, yeah.
That's always what I come back to. The note, also the pineapple, like, unless she actually got up and fixed the pineapple for herself, went downstairs in the kitchen and then somebody's entered the house, but why wouldn't she have screamed? Like, it just, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I think as well, like, the whole stun gun thing, like, I think stun guns are, like, quite loud. Like, they're not silent.
Yeah.
So, like, if that was what happened, I feel like she would have been woken up. But then they've also talked about how those two marks on her body could have been from train tracks. Like, Burke had, like, pizza train sets and, like, the toy train tracks could have been the mark. But, you know, like, how do you know, really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
There were also over 100 burglaries in the Ramsey's neighborhood in the months leading up to her murder. And there were also dozens of registered sex offenders in the area as well. And again, like I said, because she was this kind of in beauty pageants, some believe that she was probably more of a risk to like a strange, like a pedophile, I suppose. But yeah. Hard to say.
It's crazy, you know. I off the top of my head, I can't remember, but I do feel like it was either like I'm gonna say it was within the year that this happened. Another girl was actually like some creepo crawled through another girl's window that lived close by to JonBenet, and they attended the same dance class together.
Yeah, okay.
And the mum heard like a commotion coming from her daughter's room, and she's run to see what would happen. Like, do you know what I mean? What was happening? And yeah. The guy's like, I don't know, fled the scene. And all she could see was that he was wearing like all black, like a hoodie and things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't rule it out completely because this literally happened to someone like that JonBenet would have known or had like a bit of a connection to and lived close by. So, I mean, I get that you can't rule it out, but at the same time, I don't know what it is about it that I just find so far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, the only similarities between that is that they attended the same dance class. Like, there was no note, like, that girl.
But he did go into her bedroom in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But, again, the mum heard him.
Yeah.
So.
There was also no evidence of blood spatter found in the Ramsey home, and this means that she was likely dead or almost dead when that blow to her head was administered to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this kind of contradicts the whole, like, you know, the main theory really is like that Burke did it. And I think this contradicts that because this is saying that she was strangled, pretty much almost killed, and then the blow to the head happened.
And another reason why a lot of people do lead to the main cause of death as strangulation is apparently there are, and this sounds really horrible, but around her neck, there are a lot of like moon scarring. Like it's so, it seems like she was obviously trying to get whatever it was off her neck.
Yeah.
Which means she'd be alive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That, yep. Do you know what I mean? Like she was obviously trying to save herself, but yet it's those moon sort of shapes on her neck that do point a lot of people to believe that she was strangled. Like that was the main cause of death.
Yeah. So the next theory is that she was killed by someone in her immediate family, either Patsy or John or Burke, and then they staged it to look like a kidnapping. So first we'll look at Patsy. So she was highly criticized in the media from the get-go, really, pretty much for the pageant mum thing. But she has actually since passed away. I think she passed away in 2006. She had a long battle with ovarian cancer. So she, you know, obviously died, I'm going to say not knowing. She could have known, but not knowing what happened to her daughter. But I think from her being responsible, like let's first talk about the 911 call. So many criticize the fact that she hung up on the operator because they say like if you're guilty you say what you need to say and you hang up.
Yes, and that's your main lifeline. I think we've spoken about this like
for cases. Yeah,
that you never would hang up on a 911 operator. They are your main lifeline. Like you're gonna hang up on them. They're the ones there to help you.
Yes, and I say hung up with air quotations because she didn't actually hang up the phone. I think she thought she hung up, but it was still on. And there's a documentary that was done by Jim Clementi and Laura Richards from Real Crime Profile, and they analysed this audio from where Patsy thinks she had hung the phone up, and you can hear some stuff in the background. And anyway, they analyzed it, and I think they came to the conclusion that they heard a man say, "We are not talking to you," a woman then say, "Help me, Jesus," and then a child say, "What did you find?"
Yeah.
The 911 operator also talks in this documentary, and she says that she always thought, and she thought this from the start, that Patsy's 911 call sounded rehearsed.
Yeah.
She said it from the beginning. And then in this 911 call as well, she never mentions JonBenet by name. Like, she doesn't actually say her name.
Yeah.
And she only says things like, "My six-year-old, she's blonde, I'm the mother."
Yeah.
Like, just weird things that she says.
Yeah, it's sort of like she's sort of distancing herself from her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to talk about these kind of things because you don't know how you'd react in that situation, because yeah. No one's going to react the same, but yeah.
You know what? I can't criticize anything she actually says in the 911 call, because like you said, like, she is crying. She's like hysterical.
Yeah.
I'm all like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm completely open to people being like that. Like, I can't really say it sounds fake to me, but it's the hang up that really waves the red flag for me. Like, that's probably, if she didn't hang up, then I probably would be a lot more open to thinking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no idea. Yeah, so now let's talk about the ransom note. So this has also been theorized by multiple people that this was actually written by Patsy. And like you said earlier, the amount of ransom was the exact amount of John's bonus. So it's like people kind of think, like, who would know that?
Yeah.
Also with the practice notes in the house as well, like, they think that, you know, that they were obviously up, like, practicing what they were going to write in this note. And obviously, because it was written with pen and paper in the house, like we said, if you were an intruder, you would come with that note already prepared, if that was your plan.
But even how it says, "Listen carefully."
Yeah.
Like, that's like the first line. And everyone's gone on to say, like, why would you say "listen carefully"? It's something like a mum would say to her kid. You know what I mean? It's not really something you'd write in a ransom note, because you're not even listening, you're reading, and you're not going to say "read carefully," you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or even how lots of parts in the ransom note all, like, refer to, like, movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did remember reading stuff like that.
Yeah, and, like, even, like, they've taken, like, apart from I was going to call it The Bus with Keanu Reeves. Speed.
Yeah.
So there's, like, they've taken, like, bits and pieces from different movies and stuff. I just feel like, one, if it was a ransom note, it's going to be 3 pages long. Like, three pages is a long.
Yeah.
It's going to be quick, to the point, get me the money, this, that, this. It's not going to be like, "Be rested." I don't know. Be rested for when you pick up the, like, money or drop off the money. Like, it's just odd.
And now this note was also analysed by, like, a handwriting person, and they said that the spelling mistakes were intentional, like we did say before, that it's obvious it was written by a female because it has, like, feminine font, and it was very similar to Patsy's handwriting. So,
sorry, can I tell you, and apparently Patsy could write with both hands.
Oh, she was ambidextrous.
Yes.
Okay. Because didn't they say something like it looked like her written with her left hand or something like that?
Yeah, a lot of people think she had written it with her left hand.
Yeah. It was also determined from this analysis that the length, spelling, handwriting, and the lack of emotion in the note point to John and Patsy's involvement in staging the whole thing and writing this note themselves. The 3-page note would have taken about 21 minutes to write. Another reason why it doesn't make sense that this was written by an intruder on the fly when they got to the house, because standing there to write the note for taking 21 minutes to write the note is so risky. That doesn't make any sense.
And even how they say, I think they're from memory, it says, like, "We respect your business" or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you put that in there? You know what I mean? It's because he doesn't want to have bad business. It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. There was also multiple reports that Patsy used to punish JonBenet for wetting the bed, and possibly that maybe she just took it too far that night and accidentally killed her. Because I think even, like, housekeepers and stuff that have worked with the family said that she did have a bit of a temper. Like, you know, one day she'd wake up really happy, the next day she'd be like super grouchy, and she could just flip it, like flip like a switch, and you know, she'd lose her mind.
Yeah. And but apparently, like, this is the thing, apparently, like, she used to wet the bed quite often, and this is like a sign, they say, it could be that she's being like
assaulted.
Yeah. And then they purposely, like, even whether they do it with knowing or without knowing, they do it so they sort of put the like the person that's assaulting them off, like they find them like less sort of desirable. Oh, how sad's that?
So sad.
But yeah, so that's, I found that because she was six, yeah. So yeah. I feel like by that stage, usually you've grown out of that. So who knows, like, whether something else was going on? Although there's no evidence to show that she was being assaulted, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And Patsy was also still in the same clothes from this Christmas party the night before when police came.
I can't. So, like,
they think that she's been up all night staging this whole thing, writing the note, like practicing the 911 call, like all that stuff, and hasn't gone to bed.
That I find very strange, that she's wearing the same clothes.
Yeah. It's hard without her, because I don't think she's done that many interviews, not as much as John.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could explain that in a some way, like, you know, I sleep in my underwear and I just put the first pair of clothes on that I could find. But she never addressed stuff like that. Like, she really did stay away.
But what I don't get is, all right, so they were at an event the night before at a party or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So you'd think you'd be quite dressed up nicely. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go on a plane in a few hours. You know, would you wear the same clothes you wore to a party on a plane? You wouldn't. That's what I find odd.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so it's super odd.
Yeah, she's got it up and put on the same clothes from the night before, which I'm sure aren't comfortable to go flying. Like, yeah.
Yeah. The next theory within the family is Burke Ramsey, the older brother. This is the strongest theory out there. This is like what most people think has happened. And this is that Burke and JonBenet were up in the middle of the night, or Burke got up and made the snack of the pineapple. Yeah. And JonBenet tried to eat some and he got mad and he killed her. And then the parents figure out what he's done and they cover up the murder to protect Burke. And make it look like it was, you know, she was kidnapped. That's the whole theory. Sorry, you go.
No, I want to hear, like, what do you think about this theory, Lockie?
I don't know. Like, he was 10. Yeah. And as much as there is evidence towards him being a bit of a psycho kid, like,
he was very jealous of her.
Very jealous. But he was 10.
Yeah, but he had hit her. I don't know if you know this. He had hit her with a golf club.
Yeah.
When was it? The year before. And she needed plastic surgery.
Yeah.
For that. So he's obviously like a very angry kid.
Yeah, angry. And that's – and I get it. Like, it could happen. But what I'm saying is, he's 10. How could a 10-year-old cover up this lie for – like
– no, he wouldn't have covered up. The parents have covered it up.
What, you don't think that he knew that he'd killed her?
No, I think he knows. Have you seen some interviews? I'm sorry. I watched some interviews with him.
The Dr. Phil one?
Oh, my gosh, Lockie.
He's a creep. I think he's got autism or something. I think he's on the spectrum. Like, he's not all there. And he's got – they call it, like, Jupiter's delight or something, where when you're in uncomfortable situations, you smile.
Yeah.
And he's, like, to a T. Like,
maybe I've got that, because if I get awkward, I don't know what to do.
But you don't smile like him.
So have you watched any of the interviews he did when he was young, like around the time that she was murdered?
I've watched a few. I think the main one that's on YouTube.
Yeah, there's a main one. But there's something, like, even like when they're asking him, like, I don't know, like you said, maybe it's because he does have this thing that maybe he just doesn't react like you would think would be normal, but like he just says, oh, you know, I just play, or like, I don't know, like he's not showing any emotion in this interview, and his sister's just been murdered.
And also in that interview, he gets asked about the pineapple.
Yes.
And he covers his mouth, and obviously they say that people that do that, they're withholding something.
Yes.
I mean, you could say, like, the parents could have threatened him that hard to not say anything that he could be afraid. But I just think, like, so the morning when the police are all there and stuff and he's woken up, apparently the parents called some family friends to come and get Burke just to take him away just so he didn't have to see what was going on. I just think that if they were covering it up for him, that is a huge risk to send him away and know that he's not going to say anything to anyone.
Yeah, I agree.
So that to me, like, puts me a bit on the fence with the whole Burke thing.
But at the same time, if you know what you've just done and they say you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life, look what you've done.
Yeah, he could have been shell-shocked. Would you say anything? Yeah.
You wouldn't?
No. Like, yeah, it's hard to say.
I honestly, I'm on the fence with this. Like, I don't have a solid theory. I mean, this makes sense to me because I just can't see some random entering the house, writing this note. Like, something, I feel like it's happened in the house, but I can't, like, what could the heck could it have been? I don't know, with all three of them not saying anything.
Yeah. Their housekeeper, Linda, also recalls a time where Burke used to put his feces in JonBenet's bed. Like, we're just talking about how jealous, I guess, he was towards her and how they just – he didn't treat her like a sister, I don't feel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he used to put his feces in her bed and he used to smear feces on the walls in their house.
What the heck?
And then that, like, the morning that they were searching, they also found – feces smeared on some of her Christmas presents.
See, that is, I'm sorry, that shows a bit of hatred towards her, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's obviously very jealous that she gets so much attention.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, you know, she had the problem wetting the bed and he has this problem of smearing his shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny that this whole well-to-do family, like, these two kids had those, like, issues. Like, I don't know. I don't find that really odd, but yeah.
But she might have been scared of him. She might have been scared of Burke, and that's why she was wetting the bed.
Yeah, well, there's also a theory that he was assaulting her.
Interesting.
And that, you know, that explained the bed wetting and then his whole attitude towards her. Like, just treated her like crap pretty much. And like you said, he hit her with a golf club the year before. Maybe that he was assaulting her and that the parents found out as well.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that escalated. And then 2 weeks after the murder as well, he was interviewed again and he told investigators that he felt safe and he didn't worry that an intruder would come back with him. And Jim Clemente talks about this and he says, like, this response is super unusual because if you're 10 years old and you found out that your sister was killed by a random that's come into the house, you would be afraid. It's not normal to feel safe.
Yes.
So, like, that whole his feeling, I guess, points to maybe that he knew that it wasn't an intruder. And then I think, like, just his whole casual, nonchalant type of feelings that he had about the thing, about the whole situation was super unusual. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain his whole behavior, but it just doesn't match, I feel like, what a normal child would have reacted with.
Yeah, I completely agree. As I said to you, when I watched some of these interviews, I was like, oh, like, I don't want to be judgy, but that's not how I expect someone that age to react when their little sister's just been murdered in their house while they're sleeping.
But I also think he definitely had some mental issues before. So it's like he wasn't a normal kid anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's hard to say whether his reaction, because his reaction isn't like a normal child, well, that's hard to say because he didn't really act like a normal child anyway.
Yeah.
So he's actually never really been a formal suspect in this crime because he was interviewed by police, he was interviewed by a child psychologist, and none of these people walked away believing that he had anything to do with it. And then I guess finally we'll talk about the last person in the family, John Ramsey, the dad. The theory is that he was assaulting his daughter and he killed her to cover it up because she was going to talk, or she maybe mentioned it to the mum, or I don't know what happened, but he killed her to cover that up. Which again explains the whole bedwetting thing. And also because she was found with a blanket over it, this also suggests that killer knew her. Like, that's typically what people do when they know the victims. The investigators suspected John pretty early on because they said his behavior on that morning was just odd. Like, he was calling his pilot. Apparently, he was still going to go on this holiday.
Yes, he wanted to leave the house after her body was discovered. Yep. He had planned to fly. He'd called the pilot to get the plane ready.
Weird.
So, you know, that morning as well, something that I found really odd, apparently, like, obviously that this is at the time that they thought that she'd been abducted. They had left only one police officer at the house with the family and the friends, right? Anyway, and this one police officer, she, like, had lost John. She doesn't know where he went for, like, an hour and a half. Lost sight of him. She's like, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously she's trying to control a whole house of worried people, but she doesn't think, like, she remembers not seeing John for an hour and a half, and it's when she saw him again is when she sent him to go looking, like, searching the house.
Yeah,
okay. So that she was able to keep eyes on him. But who knows what he was doing for that hour and a half.
Yeah, super odd.
Isn't it?
And then when he found her body and brought her upstairs, the police and stuff said that he wasn't, like, cradling her like he had just thought his daughter was alive. Because you know how that's what he said, he thought she was alive.
Yeah.
He wasn't holding her like he was trying to save her. Apparently he was holding her, like, away from his body.
Really?
So, like, they thought, well, he said that he thought she was alive, but he's not carrying her like he thinks she's alive.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's odd. It's also, like, one thing that I did read that goes against the whole family thing is that if, say, Burke had done whatever and they were covering it up, tying all that stuff around her neck and duct taping her mouth, like, that is pretty barbaric. And I think I feel like it would be hard for any parent, whether they're protecting their other child or not, hard to do that type of stuff. Like, to tie her up like that and stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, don't know about that. It also, with the whole family thing, it also doesn't make sense that the ransom note was written when she was dead in the house. So, I just don't get that.
I know, like, what's the point? But then, you know what? Let's just say it was a family member. What are they going to do? Call and report her missing and then they find her in the house? It doesn't make sense. Like, they need something to say, like, they need to buy some time, if that makes sense.
Yes, agree.
But in saying that, if they had all night, as if they couldn't come up with a better plan.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. Like, why would this be your plan when you know they're going to end up finding her in the house and you're going to be the number one suspect?
Yeah.
Like, that was smart people. That's something that just doesn't make sense to me. Why would you leave her in the house if you had all night?
Did they not take her out of the house because they didn't want to be seen?
Well, maybe.
Like, is that why they stayed in the house? And maybe she was carried down to the basement to be put in that cellar.
Is the 90s. Like, if it was now, I'd be like, yeah, this camera's on. Freaking every second house has got a camera. The 90s, I feel like you could leave. You could, I don't know, get around without being seen or being tracked.
Yeah.
And it would have been better if the body had left the scene than if it was, do you know what I mean, like, found in the house. So that's something that's always gotten to me, you know, like, why the heck would you leave the body in the house if you're responsible? Like, it just doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. Another theory is that JonBenet was involved in, like, a child sex ring and she was being abused for a while and it just resulted in her death. There's a bit of a thing making its way around TikTok at the moment. And that is that Ghislaine Maxwell was spotted at some of her pageants.
Yes.
And this whole, like, sparked the whole theory that JonBenet was trafficked in this sex ring responsible by Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein. And I think another thing that kind of supports this is that JonBenet's father was, like, very well-respected, high-up member of society. And they think that maybe he kind of, like, pimped his daughter out almost. That, you know, he says in an interview that JonBenet, that year before she died, she had gone to the doctor 30 or 40 times.
Yes, I read that.
And there was another thing I read that, well, John actually played golf with JonBenet's doctor. So they thought that, one, either she was being abused and they just took her to the doctor to, I guess, check up on her, and the doctor knew it was in John's pocket, or the doctor was involved in this
whole thing
as well, and John knew about it.
Wait, and can I tell you something else, which is effing crazy? So another connection between the Ramseys and Ghislaine Maxwell is apparently they both hired the same law firm, right? Oh. And it gets weirder. So when Patsy passed away, John started dating this lady named Beth Holloway.
Yeah, and she's the mum of
Natalie Holloway.
That we're missing. Yeah.
And they think that she was sex trafficked, like her daughter was sex trafficked. And the Holloways also use this same law firm. So that's,
yeah, that's weird.
It's so freaking weird. I'm sorry. That is crazy. It's blown my mind.
Yeah, that's freaking weird. So they think that John had pimped out his daughter the night of Christmas, which would explain no sign of forced entry because this person was let into the house. The possibility that she was assaulted, obviously, and the unknown male DNA found in her underwear. This would explain that.
Wow. Another crazy theory is that JonBenet didn't die, that she went into hiding and then she resurfaced as Katy Perry. And this theory has come from one random bloke on the internet who thinks that Katy Perry looks like JonBenet, that Katy Perry's parents look like John and Patsy. So he talks about how her eyebrows are the same and how, like...
Yeah, eyebrows don't change.
Eyebrows ever. Don't change.
Yeah.
And then they also say that one of Katy Perry's songs, I think it's called Wide Awake, is about her being JonBenet. And then this is one thing that's weird to me. In Katy Perry's memoir, she has like a memoir that she's written, she writes a sentence in there that says, "Not that I was one of those stage kids. There was no JonBenet Ramsey inside of me waiting to burst out."
That's weird.
Why would she say that?
I have no idea. That's freaking weird. I'm not a fan of Katy Perry anyway.
No.
I think she's all up in that Illuminati shit. Yeah.
Yes. And so because people think that she's part of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati put clues in plain sight.
Yeah.
So like her saying that means that they're putting the clues out there.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, they're not even born in the same year. Like, do you know what I mean?
No, they're like 3 or 4 years different.
And I don't understand what's the point of taking her and then making her become a star. Like,
well, that's the thing.
It doesn't make sense.
That's the thing. Like, the whole motive for this is that she wanted to be a famous pop star. And I think you can go about that different ways by staging her death. Like, that doesn't, you know, anyway, that's just a crazy one. Another crazy theory is that this she was killed by the family Santa.
I'm all for this theory, by the way.
Yeah. So there was a man that played Santa for the Ramseys regularly, and a few days before she died, he'd come to the house and been Santa or whatever. Apparently, he gave JonBenet a note that said she would receive a special gift after Christmas. Super odd. And this guy, I think his name's like someone McReynolds or Bill someone.
Yes, because he likes to be called Santa Bill.
Oh.
Yeah. And he promised her that he'd be like Santa would visit her, give her a special visit after Christmas. That's what he had said to her.
He talks about how he had this really incredible connection with JonBenet, like stronger than his own children. He talks about how, like,
do you know about the vial of glitter?
No, you talk about that.
Oh my gosh. All right. So apparently JonBenet gave him a vial of glitter and told him it was stardust. Right?
Yeah.
And he says she is the only one that's ever given me a present because obviously he's Santa.
Mm.
And it gets weird that he took this vial of glitter into his heart surgery with him, and he told his wife that if he dies, to mix it with his ashes. That's effing weird.
Fucking weird.
And do you want to know something even effing weirder about this Santa? His daughter and her friend were kidnapped when they were 9 years old the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
It was exactly 22 years from her murder. Like, to the day.
Yeah, weird.
And it's never been solved. No. And his daughter wasn't assaulted, but her friend was in front of her.
Oh.
I just find it weird. Although people have said that he's ruled out, like, he has a pretty good alibi. He was, like, he wasn't even close to the house. He'd gone away with his wife and a bunch of people, but it's just weird. I'm sorry. It's so strange.
Another strange detail is that his wife wrote a play in the sentence, and this play was based on a murder of a 16-year-old who was molested and tortured, and her body was left in a basement. Yeah, so, I think what they're saying is, like, that she wrote this play and that's where he got the idea, like, to leave her in the basement. I don't know.
It's freaking strange. I just feel, you know what, something we haven't really touched on is, you know, like, I think it was the night before this, it was either the night before or two nights before the murder, you know that the Ramseys had a party at their house, and this I find freaking weird. You know somebody called 911 from the house?
Really?
And the police, like, responded, and they're like, no, like, it was a mistake. This guy made out like he accidentally called 911, but he wasn't meant to call 911. He was trying to get medicine for his mom or something. And people have looked into his mom, and his mom wasn't even, like, in hospital. Like, it's, there's so many rabbit holes with this case. But the weird thing I do find is that there was a 911 call placed. And was that to see how long it would take for the police to come? Like, that's what's stuck in my mind, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's really interesting. Was it a
trial? Yeah.
Yeah. So this Santa guy, he was never formally linked. He apparently gave handwriting samples, DNA samples. I mean, I think even if it was the Santa, forget the ransom note. I think the family would have known what had happened.
Yeah.
So, like, they might have helped cover it up. I don't know.
No, but why? If you knew that there's some freaking creep Santa had come into your house to get your daughter, why would you write this letter? Doesn't make sense. And I feel like the Santa Claus isn't going to use attaché or whatever that weird, that freaking word is. You know what I mean? Like, this is the only thing that gets me. I'm sorry, if it wasn't for that letter, if that letter just said, I have JonBenet,
yeah,
I will call you tomorrow, have this mount ready, do not contact police, I would be open to so much stuff. But because that letter is so freaking weird, it keeps... Literally, every time I think there's a suspect, I do, like, a U-turn back to the family because of that letter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. Another theory is that their housekeeper killed her, that she was needing money at the time. Apparently, she had asked the Ramseys to borrow, like, $2,000 before Christmas. And the theory is that she did the whole thing for money. I don't agree with this at all. Yeah. Apparently the same brand of duct tape was found in her home, but I mean, really,
oh, big deal. Yeah,
exactly. If you and me were to go and buy duct tape, I guarantee we'd probably buy the same brand.
Exactly.
So I don't agree with that at all. Like, I'm not even going to talk about it. And then there's another theory that she was killed for a satanic sacrifice, that the Ramseys were involved in satanic rituals, and that's what that party was a few nights before. And I mean, there's really no evidence towards this. This is just, you know, this is just a theory that's made its way on the internet. And they think this because of the way she was found, pretty much, that her wrists were tied and
blah, but you blah, know blah. What? Apparently, like, there was a Bible that was open to a certain page in their house. or there's, like, yeah, because I have looked into this a little bit, like, as in just in general, I did sort of go down this rabbit hole a bit. I mean, I feel like a lot of it's far-fetched.
Yeah.
But it's to do with Bibles and the date and the moon and all that, you know, that all that sort of stuff. So
yeah. I mean, but yeah, the main theories, really, I don't think we'll ever really know what happened to her. This is definitely in my, like, top five cases that I'd love to solve. But do you have any strong feelings as to what happened, or you just?
I actually don't. I mean, like, as I said to you, if it wasn't for that letter, I would definitely be like, I don't know, something's really off with that Santa, but he's got an alibi. Like, doesn't make sense. Like, all these people that I want to really deep dive into, I think, what's the point? Because as if they're going to use that wording in that sort of letter. That's literally where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know how I feel at all. Like, I really don't know. I jump to and from. My like, gut feeling is that it wasn't Burke. Like, that I just don't think it was him. And I think that possibly that I think John and Patsy know, personally.
Because you know what's funny? Like, I feel like with me, the reason why I don't think it's the family is because of that she was strangled. So that can't be accidental.
No.
Like, if that was the main cause, like, if she was strangled, I don't think that could be an accidental cause of death. So that makes me lead to intruder. And then I see that letter and I'm like, family. And I'm just like, I have no idea.
I probably lean more towards the fact that she was being pimped out. And
interesting,
and that the family had let someone in, you know, or someone had come back from the party or something, and it had gone wrong, and they thought that if they didn't help cover it up, then they would be uncovered for all of this shit that they're involved in.
You don't think it would have been leaked? I am down with that theory, though. Like, it makes sense.
I don't think so.
And you know how freaky, especially, like you said, rich, powerful people.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they were in the pocket of a lot of other influential people as well. So
that's the Ghislaine thing. I can't never say her name, but that really gets me. Like, if she was at her, if she was in, like, that circle, who freaking knows what the heck those people were up to?
Exactly.
Who knows?
So that's my thoughts. That's probably what I lean towards the most. But,
crazy. Actually, you know, oh my gosh, can I just tell you something? Sorry, this is like sort of off topic, but I thought of you this week because I know how you love that Munchausen.
Oh yeah, obsessed with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what? I just saw this news article about this young girl who was being like terrorized by like a bully online, like sending stuff to her and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
The whole time. And it went for like over a year, and they've just found out it was her mom that was bullying her the whole time.
Oh, my God.
What the heck, right? So I was going to say there are crazy parents out there, because obviously we're just talking about the parents now. But, yeah, why would you do that to your own daughter?
Yeah, that's full on.
Isn't it? It's sick.
Yeah. I mean, that could be, like, why – that could be, you know, similar to the way Patsy treated her.
Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know.
But yes.
But yeah, that's the case of JonBenet. So if you have a case you want us to cover, send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @caffeinecrimeandk9s.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.